The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Well, so today we've got an interesting topic today that we want to talk about. I'm going to talk about why we need to see the death of the modern entertainment church and why we need to see it go extinct so that we can have a resurrection of the living church today. That's what I'm going to talk about on today's podcast segment. Today's talking point was inspired by an article that we put together or that I shared on End Time Headlines. The headline of this was "Churches Have Replaced Prayer with Smoke Machines and Coolness." This was actually a quote that was made recently from best-selling author and founder of the A21 campaign, Christine Kane, who came out with a strong rebuke to the modern church, and what she is saying is placing its focus on being cool instead of holiness, and warned that unless the body of Christ returns to a focus on righteousness, joy, and peace, that true revival will never take place. According to the Christian Post, Kane recently participated in a 2020 question and answer, which was a virtual town hall event focused on the topics of prayer and revival, alongside Pastor John Tyson and author Corey Russell. In the opening session, the Australian speaker and author discussed how the church has gotten so scared of emotionalism and prayer has gone to the basement with the grandmothers. She went on to say that, quote, "That's where we've put it, and I'm on a campaign to pull prayer out of the basement and put it back in the pulpit and put it in front and center." She went on to say that, quote, we got a bit embarrassed because in our coolness, in between our skinny jeans and tattoos, beautiful lights section and camera, we thought prayer is not cool. We now think that prayer is embarrassing. A smoke machine will do the job. And what we've discussed and what we've discovered is smoke machines haven't saved anyone. She went on to say, look at the mess that the world's in. Instead of being in the world, not of it, we become of it. We're no longer in it. And so the challenge is, then you've got no power, and no power comes through intercessory prayer. Kane, in this interview, urged churches to take prayer out of the basement and put it front and center, saying that, quote, show a lost and dying world and a religious world, quote, I don't care if you don't think I'm cool, and I'm utterly dependent upon God. She went on to say that the problem with the modern church is that it is not desperate enough to return to prayer. I agree with that. She said, look at 2020. Politics haven't saved us. The medical profession hasn't saved us. Science haven't saved us. She said, I love all those things, but we need some old school desperation. And then finally, she said, desperation will get you travailing in a way that you've never even existed. I think we need to get desperate again. Now, I want to elaborate. I want to pull some stuff out of a message that I've done in the past that is relevant to this topic today. And it's a revelation that God gave me months ago. And I have actually preached this in pulpits in different places. I've traveled and preached that here in the United States. And then online, of course, in segments we've done on YouTube and Facebook Live. So I want to pull some of this stuff out. But before we do that, I kind of want to dovetail off of what Christine Kane is saying here. And I want to say that I absolutely agree 110% with everything, with her full assessment here that she just made with the modern entertaining church. I have been harping on this. I have been preaching on this. And I have been on my soapbox about this for years now and been saying the same thing. I mean, look at a lot of these hipster pastors, the like she said, the skinny jeans, the tattoos, and the cool hairdos, and the cool they've got inner t- uh, they've got celebrities that surround them and that they're a part of these clubs and part of these groups, and everybody looks up to them because they're famous and because they're somebody and they're well recognized and because of their image and the culture. And we're seeing one after another, these guys are falling like dominoes. A moral failure here, or some kind of scandal over here, or money being embezzled over here, or some, or this or that. And I hate to even say this, but many of these individuals have even committed suicide. And listen, I'm not gloating over this, and this is not something that I'm excited about, and this is not something that I'm proud about. In fact, we should all be very grieved over this. We should be in tears over this. This should, if anything, this should push us more so to pray and more so to travail over the modern church and over what church has become in 2020. I want to say this. She said desperation is what will drive us to travail, what will drive us to intercession, and will ultimately lead us to revival. And I 100% agree with that. The problem is, the reason why we're not in desperation is because we are in a comfortable, we're in a time of such comfortability where we're at that we have no need in desperation. But I think things are changing on the horizon. We got a little bit of a taste of this back in the spring and in the summer with all the coronavirus shutdowns and the quarantines and the stay-at-home orders, and things were flying off the shelves in stores and retail centers and grocery chains, and people started freaking out, and people were hoarding toilet paper, and people were hoarding foods, and they were hoarding guns and ammo, and they were freaking out. And he's saying, and it's happening again because there's such election uncertainties. What's it going to take to drive the church to desperation, to the point where we're no longer looking to a politician, looking to a political party to save us, or looking for the government to save us, or looking for a program to save us, or looking for a vaccine to save us? When are we going to get to the point where that we begin to get on our face, get on our knees, and we begin to cry out to heaven? He said, if my people so humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven, and then shall I heal their land. So this is where we're at in 2020. But I want to throw something out there at you. And that is, you can study out previous moves of God, awakenings, outpourings, and they have all interchanged with disasters. Almost every one of them has interchanged with some type of disaster that either hit in America, hit in England, hit in whatever country these moves of God were birthed out of, whether it was economic recession, depression, disasters. For example, in the San Francisco earthquake transpired right during the same time frame, within days after the San Francisco earthquake, or I'm sorry, the days before the San Francisco earthquake, there was a move of God taking place called the Azusa Street Revival that was being initiated. But then the earthquake transpired, this disaster, and it was the springboard and thrusted us into a full revival move of God. Some have asked, is it going to take another 9/11? Is it going to take another great earthquake? Is it going to take another civil war? What's it going to take to get the church to desperation? So we could spend this whole segment today talking about that. But I want to kind of home in and stay with the thread on a different angle of this. And I want to pull some stuff out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And this is what the Apostle Paul, he was writing and he was speaking to Timothy, which represents a younger generation, and he was warning them. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So again, we see a lot of people pointing the fingers at what's coming from the pulpits of churches across America and how they are replacing sound doctrine and teaching with storytelling, motivational speeches, humanism, watered down heretical gospels. But what I want to point out and what I pointed out before is the Apostle Paul here in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 is revealing something that I believe a lot of us, we read the scripture and we skip right over it. And that is, look at the details of what I call the supply and demand that's coming from the inner chamber of the church. What I mean by the inner chamber of the church, it's coming from the congregation. It's coming from the pews. It's coming from the church itself. It's coming from those who have itching ears. Listen to this. Number one, notice Paul says, they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not. Again, who are they? They are the listeners, the recipients of the gospel. And in here in 2 Timothy 4, it says that Paul says, they, the recipients of the gospel, the congregation, will not endure. They won't tolerate. They won't put up with it. They won't accept sound doctrine. These are those who no longer desire to be corrected, no longer desire to be convicted of their sins, but only desire to hear a one-sided gospel. And Paul says they will not endure sound doctrine. Now listen, let me bring out number two point. Paul reads on and says, but according to their own desires. So that's number two. According to their own desires. Again, who is they and their here? I want you to follow me so you're going to hear me repeat this. The congregation, the recipients. According to their own desires, they will desire a custom tailored gospel that will make them feel good about their own lifestyles and have no desire for anything that would charge them to change or crucify the works of their flesh. Whew. Number three, I'm still in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. When you read on, it says, they have itching ears. We're still talking about the same they, their. Come on, we're still there. They will have itching ears. And you know what it's itching from? It's not itching because they've got psoriasis or they've got earwax or because they've got a rash. It's itching because they want to be tickled. Their ears are being tickled by something that makes them feel good about themselves. It's not that they, listen to this, it's not that they don't want to hear teaching and preaching. That's not the case here. They want to hear teaching and preaching. But it's that they only want to hear what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. Wow. Tell me that ain't not where we're at in the church today in 2020. And number four, they will gather or they will compile their teachers, hand-picked, tailor fashion to fit their desires according to their own hearts, their own desires, and not according to the Word of God. In other words, let me break this down to you. I'm going to choose, and this is a hypothetical scenario here. I'm going to choose to gather around. I'm going to handpick preachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, and apostles that cater to what I want to hear. So what they do is, in the age of the internet and satellite television, we can now pick and choose like a buffet table, our own custom playlist of whatever messages we desire and eliminate the rest. I've got a YouTube channel and I go through and pick worship music out of it, and I can handpick which worship songs I want and delete the rest. And this is where we're at in the church today. I want to hear encouragement. Add that to the list. I want to hear edification. Add that to the list. I want to hear hope. Add that to the list. I want to hear faith. Add that to the list. I want to hear how I can become a better me. Add that to the list. I want to hear how every day can be a Friday. Add that to the list. I want to hear how I can become prosperous and great and be the head and not the tail. And then I can be an entrepreneur. I can become a millionaire. I can become the biggest and the greatest pastor and the biggest and the greatest businessman. I want to add all that to the list. Pile it high and deep. Give me seconds of it. I'll eat this and come up and get another plate full of that. Oh, wait a minute. What's that? Is that repentance on the spread? No, I don't want that. You can keep that to yourself. Is that holiness? I don't want that. You can keep that to yourself. Is that sanctification? I don't want that. Keep that to yourself. Is that a teaching on how to crucify the works of my flesh? Keep that to yourself. Is that something on self-denial? Keep that to yourself. Come on, my friends. That's what has caused the trouble that we're in. Whew. And number five, listen to this. Lastly, the word of the Lord says that these folks will turn their ears away from the truth and replace it with fables. I was thinking about my Lord. Thank you, Lord. This was played out today. See, I live in Georgia. I live in the state of Georgia, and I live out in an area called Loganville, Georgia, right now in Monroe. It's kind of like Monroe. You got Loganville, and you've got Grayson, Snellville. I'm in this little area right here. And one thing I learned about moving, I moved from the state of Indiana and I moved up here to Georgia. One thing I've noticed out here is, man, these folks love Mexican food. And listen, I love Mexican food. I do. But I'm telling you, these little Tex-Mex, quick fast food Mexican restaurants, I'm telling you, I've never seen so many in my life. I could go 10 square miles and I can find a Chipotle. I can find a Moe's. I can find a Diablo's. I can find a Barbaritos. It's like, my goodness, there. And it's, here's what's interesting. I can go to all four of those and eat from those. And I can customize what I want by the spread. I can put some white rice here. I can make me a burrito with some white rice and some black beans and some pico and some guacamole. And if you want to put some cheese on that or some sour cream on that or some onions or some peppers, whatever, you can just put whatever they got up there. And you would think in your mind, you would think, well, these are all the same thing, but they've just got different names. And what you'll discover is that's not the truth. In fact, I've got my favorite, and I'm not going to mention it because this is not the spot. I'm not trying to sponsor a particular restaurant on this broadcast. What I'm trying to say is, my taste buds, are you listening? My taste is accustomed to what I like. The certain amount of spices, the right amount of this, the right amount of that. Is it got enough salt? Is it got too less of this and too much of this? And I've learned what I like. And this is what, listen, this is what we, and now I want to talk to you. Let he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying. This is what we've done in the church today. See, we, instead of taking the word of God and you get what you get. You know, I mean, when I grew up, when I was young and grew up, I didn't have a choice. When my mom made dinner, I didn't have a choice to pick off this or to put away that or to say no to this and I'm only going to eat that. Yeah, right. No, I had to eat this and I had to eat that because it came with the whole package. Yeah, it didn't taste as good, but you know what I found out? I didn't understand it when I was young, but what I understood later is I need to eat that, what is green on my plate. I need to eat those vegetables. I need to eat those fruits. Why? Because it's got things in it that I need to help me to grow and to stimulate my digestive system and to stimulate my immune system and to help me stay strong and healthy and not get sick. But see, we've come along and we say, all right, here's what we got to do, guys. We're not getting people in here quick enough. We're not getting people in here fast enough. We're not keeping people. We're not outgrowing the church next door. We're not outgrowing the church down the road that's got the bigger programs and they got this and that. So what we're going to do is, because we can't run people off and we can't offend people, so what we're going to do is we're on our spread, we're going to take out those things that most people don't like to eat and they don't like to be put on their plate. We're going to remove those and we're going to begin to replace them with stimulants. We're going to replace them with artificial sweeteners. Oh, come on, somebody. What is the artificial sweeteners? What is the stimulants? You know what that is? That is the dress, the skinny jeans, the tattoos, and the way you look, and the way your haircut should be cut. And you should have, come on, you should have a V-neck, and you should have this kind of, and you got to wear this kind of jacket, and you got to have this kind of style. So style and fashion and going with the culture. And then we're going to replace repentance and this and that, and we got to bring in the stimulants, bring in the fog machine, bring in the lights setups, bring in the more speakers, and bring in this and bring in that. But here, I want to point to you. See, we can point our fingers at the pastors and this all day long, but I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. The supply and demand for this is what's being generated from the pews. Listen, the supply and demand is why we're seeing this pop up all around the nation. As much as we want to blame the preachers and the pull and what's coming behind the pulpits, listen, it's the supply and demand that is producing this. Because a lot of these folks are running out pastors. A pastor comes in and he wants to, God forbid, he wants to preach the whole counsel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God forbid that he preach on repentance. And God forbid that he preach on sin. And God forbid that he preach on holiness and sanctification and consecration and setting themselves apart and self-denial. God forbid that he preach on anything like that, because a handful of people will start getting offended. And you know what will happen is they'll vote him out. They'll run him off. They'll lie on him. They'll run him out of town. And they'll go and handpick a pastor according to their own lust and according to their own itching ears. And they will put him in the pulpit. Why? So that they can be happy. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, never offended, always happy. So as I was putting this together, I thought of an old-time English Baptist reformer by the name of Charles Spurgeon. He was known as the Prince of Preachers. And he expounded on what I'm talking about today, and I want to give you some stuff that he talked about. In fact, he talked about he made three points that I want to share with you today on this podcast. Number one, he said, our mission as the church is not entertainment. Spurgeon said, quote, within suitable bounds, recreation is necessary and profitable, but it never was the business of the Christian church to supply the word with amusements. Quote, humans need leisure, and the church can be a place of rest and recreation with our brothers and sisters in Christ. However, our mission is not to entertain the world, but it is to save sinners through the preaching of the gospel. The world will provide entertainment and amusements enough. The church's distinct offering and singular mission is the soul rescuing gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, Spurgeon said, quote, a focus on entertainment negates the weightiness of the cross. Spurgeon said that one church put on a series of services focusing on special plays, concerts, recreational events, including rousing games of musical chairs. Spurgeon says he laments that, quote, this is to go on side by side with the preaching of thy bleeding sacrifice, O Christ of God. Quote, if our mission is to urgently call sinners to repent, to speak of the realities of heaven and hell, and to lift up the spirits of the shamed and downcast with the grace of Christ crucified, can we do all this while playing musical chairs? Did you hear that? This is what he's saying here. The greater the push towards entertainment and amusement, the lesser the imperative of the gospel will truly be felt as imperative. So Spurgeon exhorts by judgment and eternity, I beseech you, keep yourselves clear of the follies of the entities of the day. This is what Spurgeon talks about here. Number three, frivolous entertainment will attack the preaching of Christ. Frivolous entertainment will attack the preaching of Christ. He goes on to say, quote, in fact, not only are frivolity and the gospel incompatible, one will eventually destroy the other. I want to say that again. That is a powerful statement. Spurgeon said, not only are the frivolity and the gospel incompatible, one will eventually destroy the other. He says, no one can serve two masters, and neither can a church pursue both silly amusements and true gospel preaching. At some point, either the church will allow the seriousness of the gospel preaching of the gospel to win the day, or the church will choose entertainment of its customers as its ultimate pursuit. When the latter choice is made, according to Spurgeon, the urgent gospel of salvation from judgment will no longer be allowed to threaten the good vibes of the entertaining church. Good gosh. Guys, do you realize how long ago Spurgeon wrote that? You want to talk about prophetic? You want to talk about giving a prophetic word? Let me read that again. When we choose entertainment of our customers as our ultimate pursuit, the urgent gospel of salvation from judgment will no longer be allowed or accepted to threaten the good vibes of the entertaining church. Tell me we're not there today. So Spurgeon warns, quote, the preaching of Christ usually ceases with these frivolities come in. These things are so opposed in spirit that one or the other will have to be dropped, and we know which one it will be. So listen, guys, Spurgeon was warning way back then that if we ever get to the point in the body of Christ, if we ever get to the point in the church where we allow entertainment to begin to triumph and to begin to exalt itself and to become the throne of and to become the resounding voice of the mission of the church, it will eventually snuff out, kill, and destroy the gospel message of the cross. No wonder it says in the book of Revelation that the church of Laodicea will be a church that has a portrayal. It has a perception of that they're rich and that they have all that they need. But the Lord will say unto them, you are wretched and naked, and talks about how they will need to repent and come back to their first love. Listen to this. The author here said, as ministers of the true gospel, we should cultivate churches of true rejoicing and rest. We do not find our rest in the kinds of weightless amusements of the world that offers so freely, and pursue amusements that may liven or distract for a moment, but rather we make our aim the true gospel, the gospel of peace and joy. I want to give you some powerful quotes by Spurgeon. He said, quote, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. He also said, quote, if you have to give a carnival to get people to come into the church, then you will have to keep giving carnivals to keep them coming back to the church. I want to read this. I want to close with this. Another, the senior pastor of Shadow Mountain Community Church in California, David Jeremiah. He's also, he's an author, a speaker, he's a pastor, but he's also an end times minister as well. He also warned about this. In fact, I want to give you some quotes from him. He said, there's an incredible motivation on the part of everyone to be successful. And a lot of times people program their churches to see how many people will sit in the pews on a Sunday morning. He said, quote, there's nothing wrong with getting people there as long as you share the gospel, but there's no glory in just a number. He went on to say, quote, don't worship at the attendance altar. He said, a lot of good things happen in churches when there aren't huge numbers, but the pastor has prepared a good message and there's worship. We get off on this thing that we have to be bigger than the guy down the street and how to get more people in the building. David Jeremiah went on to say, quote, when you're focused on this, you'll never preach anything that's controversial, and you'll always be trying to figure out how to get more people to get into the church. What inspired him to make these talking points was a Barna Group study that found that 67% of millennials prefer a classic church over a trendy one. Let me say that again. This needs to resound and needs to be heard all across the airwaves right now. 67% of millennials prefer a classic church over a trendy one. Are you listening to me, God? So who's deciding that we need to make it hip and that we need to make it culturally correct when over half of the millennials don't want a trendy church? Come on, somebody. Why? Because they want the real thing. They want the power. They want the glory. They want the signs, wonders, and miracles. Come on. They want to see the dead raised. They want to see the sick healed. They want to see devils cast out. They want the real and the authentic. They're tired of the phony baloney. But yet we, for some reason, we tend to the small minority that says, no, we want it trendy. We don't want controversial. We want it this way. And for some reason, their voice has triumphed over the majority. And this is not just in the church, guys. Look around, open your eyes. How is it that a 2% of the population is controlling everything from the definitions of terms and dictionaries to college courses and study, to how we relate to people, how we identify people? Are you kidding me? David Jeremiah went on to say, quote, here in California, we see interest on the part of millennials and younger for the Bible and for truth. Most of the time we see stats about how people are leaving the church, but in many retrospects, young people are demanding more truth, more teaching, and less entertainment. They're not interested in shallow expressions of religion. He went on to say that Christians have two major markers in their lives, when they become Christians and when they go to heaven. But most Christians don't know what to do in between those two markers. And that's because churches don't teach them. The whole idea that God expects us to build character in our lives is a foreign thing to so many people because it has not been taught and explained from our pulpits. Wow, so much to chew on and so much to digest today in our podcast. But how much truth is in this, guys? This is where we're at. This is why I've decided a while back to branch our ministry into two arms of our ministry. We have End Time Headlines, which is our information, our prophetic voice here. And then we have Remnant Revival Ministries, which is our exhorting and our teaching arm, so that we hit both angles. Because there's a lot of churches that are great at exhorting and good at edifying and good at teaching and equipping and discipling, but they totally remove any teaching on eschatology of the end times. And then on the other hand, we've got some ministries that are all about end times, all about eschatology, but they're not teaching us, come on, spiritual warfare. They're not discipling us. Come on, they're not equipping people. They're not doing that. They're not doing what David Jeremiah said, the in-between. So we want to hit, that's one thing that the Lord put on my heart, is to hit both angles of this. So we try our best because we want to keep you up to, you know, to date with the times and seasons which we're in. But we also understand that there's a lot of you guys out there that probably, some of you don't have a home church, or you're a babe in Christ, and some churches, and maybe in your location, are not teaching and edifying and equipping and discipling people. So we try to hit both angles. So, again, I hope that you've enjoyed today's segment. Take what we've said, share it, share the link, copy the link, share the URL, share the podcast, the YouTube, the Facebook Live, whatever. Share this. If you know people that would be interested in hearing this, please let them, tag them in this, let them know about this message. I believe this is going to resonate with a lot of people out there today. So listen, we're gonna close out this broadcast today, but I want to pray first before we close it out. And we're gonna probably take off tomorrow. We're gonna be back on Wednesday, and we will either bring you another viewpoint, or we'll do a teaching or something. We're always gonna have something lined up. I know this Friday, real quick before we pray, you guys pray for me. I'm going to be speaking to the youth again at my local church, at New Song Church in Monroe, Georgia. I'm going to be delivering a powerful word on the power of life and death in the tongue. That's what I'm going to be talking about on Friday night. So I've got to get all the PowerPoint messages together and all that stuff. And so be praying that we have a powerful service, and pray that these young people's lives get changed, transformed by the glory of God. We're going to be doing that on Friday. So we've got a lot of things on deck. And again, guys, keep me in prayer as well, because I don't know, and I'm praying about this as well, but I have pulled either something in my neck back here, and it's probably from doing a lot of work on the computer, whatnot. If you know anybody that does a lot of computer work, working in an office or whatever, it's very common to get that. But it's when you turn your neck or whatever, and it hurts on one side and it goes all the way down your back. So this is something that chiropractor and the whole nine yards. So we're praying about that. I'm believing that either the Lord will heal, or he'll give wisdom to myself and to others that would help me treat this thing, get this thing worked out. Because if you've ever, you guys know what I'm talking about. If you've ever had anything like that, it's not pleasant. It's not fun. But nevertheless, God is good. He's in control. And we're going to get through this. So we love you guys. Let me pray for you guys real quick, and then we're going to sign off today. And when I get done praying, guys, I'm going to give you some information on how to follow our ministry, how to keep up with this, how to subscribe, the whole nine yards. Father, I thank you for those individuals today on this podcast, watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody that's listening or watching today, and they can relate to, Lord, the modern church today, and Lord, they're sick of the entertainment, they're sick of their ears being tickled with these messages of humanism and self-motivational messages, and the message of the gospel and the message of the cross has gone to the wayside. There's no conviction, there's no exhorting, there's no rebuke, there's no correction, there's no teaching, there's no discipleship. Father, we ask that the true church, the true ecclesia, would begin to resurrect itself and rise up, Lord God, and be the church it's called to be the voice, to be the light, to be the salt, and to be the witness it's called to be today, with power and glory and signs, wonders, and miracles, being expressed through the teaching and preaching of the gospel. And I pray, Father, that this, what we've created, this monster, this Frankenstein that we've created of this modern entertaining church today that's tickling the ears of the masses, but it's not discipling people, and it's not equipping people, and it's not exhorting them and raising them up to be disciples. I pray that you would put an end to this, that it would be buried, it would go extinct, and that we could speak, we could say the eulogy and move on from this thing and get back to the blueprint of the New Testament church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Guys, listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that's our main landing page. That's where you can find our main website. You can subscribe to it, but when you go there, click on the subscribe. You just fill out your name, your email address, and you'll get one digest every single day in your inbox. Please do that as soon as you can. Also, if you've not yet downloaded our free app, it's available on Android and Apple. Please do that. Get that app into your hands. Get it onto your device so that you can keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You'll get push notifications. You'll see our podcast there, our YouTube channel. The whole, everything that is related to our ministry will be right there on the app as well. Again, if you'd like to give to our ministry, if you'd like to support our ministry with a gift of any amount, again, you can go to the main website, click on donate or support. There's going to be a couple locations here. It's going to bring you to an electronic page. You can give a one-time gift, or you can become a monthly partner. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, that's what we're asking that you would do. Just be obedient. And if you're listening, you're old school and you'd like to give by check or money order, you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Again, that's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, again, we're signing off for today. We love you guys. Thank you for your prayers, your support, and participating in today's podcast. We'll see you next time. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.